And action. What's up, y'all? It's Vaughn DiCarlo, aka Coach Vaughn, and Coach Vaughn is on. Been gone for a while. Now I'm back with a jump off. So I have been restarting Coach Vaughn podcast a million times. Thank you for my true hardcore listening fans that have been with me from day one. My day ones are my everything. And for this re-up of the Coach Vaughn podcast, what I'm going to do in every episode is start with a quote of the day and take it from there. And today's quote of the day is from Dr. Wayne Dyer. Dr. Wayne Dyer is a self-help author and a spiritual guide and leader, a motivational speaker, someone that I wish I had discovered more than just a year or two ago. I think his first book, Your Erroneous Zones, was published maybe in the 70s. The fact that I just discovered him recently is a torture to my soul. I have learned so much from his books, his audiobooks, his lectures. I went on a deep dive of Dr. Wayne Dyer, and I have yet to accomplish the reading, listening, the reading and listening of his entire body of work. He is truly a fascinating person, and I could choose from a zillion quotes from Dr. Wayne Dyer, but today I want to talk about karma. So I looked up one of his quotes about karma, and Dr. Wayne Dyer says, "How people treat you is their karma. How you react is yours." Now, that's sums it up, right? I shouldn't have anything to say after that. But the thing about karma and justice in this world and why I wanted to talk about it today is because it just feels like everything, the world is just run amok, right? Everything is all over the place. And it almost makes you question, where is the justice? Where is the karma police for everything that's happening, right? Most of you know that my mom recently passed. It's very raw, very fresh, very new. It's only been a few months. And to be quite honest, I feel like it just hit me this past week because I've been on the road most of the time. So my mom has been sick for the past more than 6 or 7 years. She got cancer pre-COVID. And the cancer she beat with radiation and chemo. However, the treatment from the radiation and the chemo is really what immobilized her and made her health take a huge turn. There was a point where we thought she could recover from the treatment, in which there was a little progress in the beginning. But she was on a feeding tube because the radiation and the chemo, the treatment basically had to go directly in her face. She had a tumor on her sinuses. So long story short, my mother was on a feeding tube for the past several years, pre-COVID into her passing. And you think to yourself, or I think to myself, where's the justice? Because I know my mom's beginning, middle, and end story. So I've been struggling with that. People who are familiar with me know that death is not a stranger to my door. I have lost many very close loved ones. I'm going through something different with the passing of my mom. I've been in the space of losing someone very, very close to me, obviously. However, I have never experienced what I'm experiencing with my mom. And like I said, I was on the road a lot. And when her health took a very sharp left turn and she had to be put into a nursing home. This, I would say this happened towards the end of the year, somewhere around fall, winter, like going into October-ish. And I was going back and forth to Pittsburgh a lot from now the West Coast, where I live in Los Angeles. Not such a short ride to Pittsburgh, but it's my mom. And I could just tell in my sister's voice that this time my mom was going back into the hospital was different. And then she ended up in a nursing home. And then, long story short, on January 11th, 2024, she transitioned into full spirit. Now, between October, when not only was I traveling to Pittsburgh back and forth, but I was also on the road. If you take a flashback look at my schedule, my October schedule was crazy. I was still doing a lot of feature work as well as my headlining dates, because I'm in that transitional period of comedy where I still feature for the bigger names, but I'm getting more and more headlining dates of my own. So October was crazy. I think I did Craig Robinson. I don't want to drop all the names. I featured for a lot of people. I did theaters. I was in New York. I was in Cali. I was everywhere in between. I did improv. So I was all over the place. And I think I had headlined Ontario Improv here in California. And then November came with the holidays. I'm back and forth Pittsburgh. And December came. I'm back and forth Pittsburgh. But I headlined the Pittsburgh Improv. And then my first time headlining in Washington, D.C., in that market, was the first weekend in January. And it was my first full weekend, because a lot of these headlining dates I'm getting are one-offs, one-nighters. As I prove myself in the new space of headlining. So by the way, y'all, make sure you're coming out to see me. Make sure you're following my social media and all of that stuff. These numbers count. The business, the entertainment business has made it so. Well, let me rephrase that. Social media has made it so that the entertainment business is really, your career is almost determined by the people, for the people. Now, there's people out there probably buying their way into a large following on social media. I am not. I am built from the ground up. So literally you, the person listening to me say you, you are the one that is determining the success of your favorite comedian, quite literally. So make sure you are following me on social media and, you know, listening to my words on this podcast, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm in Washington, D.C. Well, first of all, I'm in Pittsburgh. And I am telling my mom that, like, there's, you could tell she was dwindling away. So I'm like, there's no way I'm going to have to cancel D.C. It's my first big full headlining weekend and in one of the biggest and best markets for comedy. But this is my mom, right? So my mom tells me, no, go to Washington, D.C., do your shows. I will be here when you get back. I promise. I promise. And I was like, you sure, mom? And she's like, yes, I will be here when you get back. And she kept her word. You know, my mom was fascinated that I was a comedian. I get my humor from my mother. And she was always very proud and supportive and really enjoyed the fact that I put her in my stand-up comedy. And she kept her promise. I got back from Washington, D.C. Hardest 5 shows I've ever done in my life, but most difficult shows I've ever done. I was just, it was a, you know, out-of-body experience almost. It was like surreal because, mind you, I don't put all my business on social media like that, right? People don't know the depth of what's happening in my life. People don't know that my mom is literally steps away from her final chapter of life. And she promised she would be there when I got back. And it was like she was literally just holding on until I got back because she was still with us when I got back. And, but you could tell she had, her health had dwindled a little bit more. And a couple days later, my sister and I made the very difficult decision to take her off of life support because she was pretty much gone. And very difficult decision. Not that it was a decision, not that it was a real decision. It was just that we had to give the okay. It was just the machines that was keeping her physical body in motion, but her life energy was pretty much gone. So again, I'm not putting my whole life and business on social media like I'm an ongoing love and hip hop of comedy reality show on social media. You know, a lot of my life I do share, but for the most part, a lot of times it's not in real time. You know, I've processed it. Like I'm sharing these things with you now because I processed it and I know where I'm at in my stages of grief and mourning. So I'm sharing this. And so anyway, back to the hospital. A couple of days after I get back from Washington, D.C., my mom's health dwindled pretty much all the way down to the point where it was time to let her go. The very afternoon, a couple hours after my sister and I made that very difficult decision to put her in what they call comfort care. They don't call it hospice, not in the hospital we were in Pittsburgh. They call it comfort care, where they basically unplug all the machines and they load you up with comfort drugs like morphine and things of that nature that completely puts you in a total state of what scientists and doctors believe is complete physical comfort as you transition, as your spirit transition into full spirit. Same afternoon, a couple hours later, I get a text from Nate Jackson, who is a very funny comedian, but he also owns a comedy club called Nate Jackson's Super Funny Comedy Club in Tacoma, Washington, right? And he's asking me if I could come headline his club that weekend because he had a dropout. He had to reschedule someone. So I went to the internet, to the website to see who he has to reschedule. And it was Sheryl Underwood. Now, a lot of people only know Sheryl Underwood from CBS The Talk, but I know Sheryl Underwood as a OG stand-up comedy queen in this business, okay? I have a lot of respect, a deep reverence for Sheryl Underwood, right? She was one of the first comedians, Black female comedian, that I saw speak from a different point of view. Honestly, she was the first Black comedian, let alone her being a woman, that was a Black Republican. And this was back in the day. I don't know what it is now. And I don't want to go on a deep dive of Black Republicans because it was different back then than it is now. That's not the point. She's a phenomenal stand-up comedian. And I'm looking at my phone like, oh my God, Nate Jackson thought of me to replace Sheryl Underwood? Hey, yo, plug my mama back in real quick. Plug my mom back in real quick. Hey, ma, I'm in these like just three more days, okay? Just three more days. You did it for Washington, D.C. You could do it for Tacoma, Washington. Don't be selfish. Now, obviously, I didn't say that. I didn't ask them to plug my mama back in. But I thought it was hilarious. It was, when you go through a trauma, you have the most hilarious, ridiculous thoughts. The reason it's funny is because it's so ridiculous to even think that, let alone execute something like that. So, of course, I didn't say it, but I'm staring at my phone. And that was the first thing that came to my mind. And I guess that's what makes me a comedian, because my mind will find the funny even accidentally. And my mother was the type that participated in jokes about her. So I'm sure she's cracking up at that thought and even me delivering that on stage. I do tell this story in a shorter form on stage. And I didn't take the gig. Okay. I just kindly replied to Nate Jackson. I didn't even give the excuse that I'm going through this trauma right now. I didn't say, hey, I'm in a hospital, my mom's died. I didn't say none of that. I just replied to Nate Jackson. I said, oh my God, thank you for thinking of me. Unfortunately, I'm not available this weekend, but please circle back. I would love to headline your club at a later date. And I stayed with my family, and my mom is in a better place. And I hope she got her wings. And they better be honey barbecue and delicious, because I'm still down here waiting on a call from Nate Jackson. Pause, I'm going to get some water. So why that particular quote of the day today about karma? How people treat you is their karma. How you react to it is yours. Sometimes we think, you know, like with my mom passing, I went through a very angry phase that I think I may be past, but it's still fresh and new. So I might circle back to the anger. I knew my mom's beginning, middle, and end story. And when I look at her life, I feel like, wow. Her beginning was filled with suffering. Her middle was okay. She finally found a space where she could have some joy in life, and then boom, cancer. The last 6 or 7 years of my mom's life, and witnessing her final days and the suffering of her physical body that I witnessed, you go, wait a minute. Is there no redemption? Is there no justice for someone whose faith never wavered? I don't know a more faithful woman in God and Jesus Christ than my mother. I get my faith from my mother. I get my funny from my mother. I get my fine from my mother too. But I also have to get my fine from my mother, meaning not vanity, my okay with myself, my okay with this world, my okay questioning, where's the redemption? Where's the karma for the people that hurt her, that hurt me? Where's the karma? Because there's both good and bad karma, right? Where's the karma? Where's the good karma for my mother, for all the good things that she's done despite the suffering and pain that she endured during her life? Is there no redemption? So that's why I chose that quote from Dr. Wayne Dyer. And it's definitely something I have to, all of these things is something I have to process more. I'm just sharing where I'm at. And what I realized from that quote is sometimes we don't see or recognize the good or bad karma within others. How I'm perceiving my mother's beginning, middle, end may not be how she perceived it herself. She may feel fully redeemed because as she was taking her final breath, while she was not born into a loving environment, she most certainly took her last breath in a loving environment with myself, my sister, my niece, and my nephew. We were all there. I did the Lord's Prayer, looking right into my mother's eyes and face as I could still hear the heart monitor machine rapidly going down. As she was taking her final breath, she was surrounded with nothing but love. Who am I to judge if that was not the good karma of life finding her in her final moments? From talking to the hospital staff and the doctors, they were very inspired by the love my mother was surrounded by, not just in her final moments, but in the entire time she was in the hospital. We never left her. We were in shifts. If I wasn't there, my sister was there. If my sister couldn't be there, my nephew was there. We were in shifts. My mother was never alone. And maybe from her point of view, which is fair, the good karma had reached her. So there's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to unpack. And for a while, I stopped my meditation. If you follow me, you know at 7 a.m., I meditate, levitate, be great. Okay. Meditate, levitate, be great. Meditate, levitate, be great. I am so grateful that I've come to such self-realization and a space in my spiritual journey and life where I could actually help my mom in her final days with some questions that she has, some things that she wanted to talk about spiritually. I was able to connect with her. And I'm very grateful for that. But we always feel like, I wish I could have done more, you know? And instead of thinking of karma in a sense of revenge, maybe the lesson learned is thinking of karma not as justice for someone who did something wrong, but, you know, what goes around comes around and all of that, but just leaning more into the positive side of karma and good reaching you in your days here on earth and your journey is in this human experience, that the good days you have is the karma that you have put out there. So when Dr. Wayne Dyer says how people treat you is their karma, but how you react is yours, meaning if you strike back or you seek revenge on that person, or maybe not even that person, maybe you're taking your bad day that that person gave to you out on someone at work or out on your children or out on your husband or wife. That negative energy, whether it's a minor offense or you stab somebody and kill them or somewhere in between, it's still the energy that you're putting out there. It's going to circle back to you. So if that's the case, and that's the law of the universe, that's the law of God, and the one source that is God. If that's the case, then wouldn't it make sense to lean in really far? Lean in as far as you can to the good aspects and the good karma, right? Pay for someone's toll ahead of you. pay for someone's groceries ahead of you. You know, and don't do it like I'm doing this so I could get something. Do it genuinely from the kindness of your heart where you're like, you know what? This is going to brighten their day. And because it brightened their day, it just brightened mine. And then maybe karma will see you on a day where you need somebody to get that cup of coffee for you, you know? But not necessarily from a monetary standpoint, but just from a generosity standpoint. Because sometimes you extend your generosity financially for someone, that doesn't necessarily mean that they needed it. A lot of times when I do the pay it forward thing and I pay for someone's stuff that's ahead of me, it's not that that person needed to save that money that day, but you don't know what they're dealing with that day. They may feel alone. They may feel invisible. They may feel unheard. They may feel hurt from whatever happened in their day. And then here you come with a small kind gesture that says, hey, I see you. Now, men, don't take this as a flirt, all right? I'm not flirting with you. Just watch your damn coffee. Just take the coffee and keep it moving. Every time somebody does something nice or smile or say, hey, happy birthday, that does not mean that woman wants to sleep with you, okay? Or a man, no ditty, right? You're supposed to say no ditty now. I wanted to talk a little bit about that, but I'm not laughing. It's such a disaster. Like, what happened to the Lizzo allegations? Because it's just like we hop from one tragedy to the next. It's like Diddy and Diddy not Diddy do the. I bet when he changed his name to Diddy, he didn't see did he coming. 50 Cent, like I unfollow. Like I was going through so much with my mom. I was like, I have to heal. I unfollow Shade Room, Hollywood Unlocked, Club Shay Shay, 50 Cent. I unfollow everybody. I was like, I can't right now. I need to wrap around my own trauma right now. But then ironically, I recently followed everybody back, and as soon as I followed everything back and got tapped back into the world, come to find out Diddy is top news. I was like, wow, what happened to Lizzo? And then she screamed, I'm going to quit the business. Quit. And quit telling everybody you quitting, because every time you announce that you quitting, that just means you're not quitting. You're looking for attention. Okay? How much more attention do you need, Lizzo? Jeez. this world is run amok. It really is. And for those of you that have been following me in the Fantasy Basketball League, I am very proud that I made it to the playoffs this year. But I was very disappointed that I got knocked out in the first round. It is what it is. Fantasy basketball has made it difficult for me to watch actual basketball games because I just stare at my stats. So don't ask me what's going on in the basketball world. I really don't know. I know the Knicks are great. Let's go Knicks. Can I tell you anything that's happening? No. And quite frankly, I'm okay with that. I have a ton of stuff on my plate. And one of the things is revamping the Coach Warren podcast and being consistent with it. So again, I want to thank you all for listening today. And I am going to see you next time. Coach Vaughn out. Thanks again for listening to the Coach Vaughn podcast. You can follow me on social media at Vaughn DiCarlo across all social media platforms and visit funnyvaughn.com for links to everything that is me, including my Patreon, where you can get exclusive content from yours truly, Vaughn DiCarlo, aka Coach Vaughn, and Coach Vaughn is out.